the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEN.
We welcome you here to the ASN Coaches Show here on 91.7 WEEN. I'm your host, Jacob Festmeyer, and for tonight's show, we will open up with Coach Cook and Coach Ballard talking and reviewing their sides of the Madison County Tournament, as well as a preview of their two games this weekend. And I'll cap off the show by going through January's calendar of events. So to open up here, I got Coach Cook with me. First off, Coach Cook, thank you for joining me.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having this show. It's a good thing for all us listeners out there, you know, to be able to talk about some of the things. So you're doing a great job with it.
Appreciate it. So last week, of course, was a phenomenal last week for your Lady Ravens as they won their 10th Madison County Tourney Championship in school history. So describe the feeling of hearing that final buzzer sound and winning that championship game.
Well, it's one of those the goals we set at the start of the season that we wanted to accomplish. And, you know, you set your mind and focus on it and kind of set your schedule up to be focused on playing well then and to be able to attain that goal and to be able to, you know, get some hardware and cut the nets down and, you know, get a trophy to go with it. You know, it was just super exciting and, you know, proud of all the girls and everything they did to work to get that. You know, we've been close, you know, the last 4 years and just haven't been able to get over the hump. So, you know, really proud of our seniors, you know, the four seniors we had to get their first one and get things going back the right direction here for the Lady Arabians.
So in that previous game, Franklin was trying to give Pendleton Heights a run for their money in those semifinals, but the Lady Ravens were able to break away and win 42-40. But what did you see out of the Lady Ravens in that semifinal matchup?
Well, you know, give Franklin a lot of credit. They came out playing, you know, really good basketball and shooting shots that, you know, they don't normally hit. We had a girl that had hit one for 19 or one for 17 threes on the season, come out and hit two in that, you know, second quarter. And it really gave them a nice burst. And, you know, I give them a lot of credit for how hard they played. Our girls responded, though. We started off good, but we played that game, you know, kind of tight where – you know, we beat them by 26 the first time, so it's a hard, you know, mountain to get over that, you know, they're going to come in here and be sharp and be trying to win the county, and they think they can do it. And I mean, they had a tough game against Fishers, you know, in the week before, so they were ready. And, you know, we didn't get to play Anderson in the first round, and we hadn't played since before Christmas. And so, you know, we were rusty, and it was almost a perfect storm to lose, but, you know, the girls did a great job of, you know, jumping out to a good lead and then hanging on, even though we were nervous there. But that's a great experience for us. And to end up on top and a chance to learn from winning is a lot more fun than learning from losing.
So what would you say was your team's main focus throughout practice last week and trying to fight for that county title?
Well, we wanted to keep our mind right and concentrate on what we're trying to do. We're still trying to get back to where we were and get back healthy and get everybody back on board. So we got some work to do that way. But, you know, to get us back to executing on offense and defense, I mean, we're pretty solid on both ends. We just got to make some minor adjustments, you know, mentally, what we're doing, you know, with the ball and the shots we're taking. We haven't turned it over very much. I think we just had 12 turnovers in that whole county tournament. So, you know, it's not from turnovers. It's just decisions on shots and maybe taking a higher percentage shot and one that will, you know, help us build the lead. But, you know, I think a lot of that was from being tight. And, you know, it's a tough matchup just right out of the gate there with Frankton, who's playing as good as they're playing, for us to be rusty and, you know, coming out after a long break.
So for the senior class, this was their first county championship. But how does it feel seeing that hardworking and devoted senior class fight and work so hard to secure that win?
Oh, it was really special, you know. And I just thought, you know, Abby Rosenkranz, the amount of, you know, heart that she's had, and Morgan Martin leading us, and, you know, Haley Brunemer, another one of our captains who, you know, has been through so much and be able to come out with the win. And Kylie Lloyd out there playing on a sore knee and, you know, really – you know, put a lot of, you know, sacrifice into being as good as they can be and to win this county. So, you know, for them to be able to get that win, it was critical. And if you look up and down the list, the effort that the girls put in, I mean, look at Whitney Warfel and, you know, the AAU she's played and, you know, all the time she spent trying to get to be a better basketball player. Casey Warfel, the same thing. you know, that they're not just playing, you know, here in the basketball season, but out of season as well. And, you know, it's really makes them special players. You know, Berkeley Shelton, unfortunately, wasn't able to play. You know, she gives up a chance to go with her family because she didn't want to miss practice over Christmas break, so she wouldn't have to miss the tournament. And then she got quarantined and wasn't able to play in that game. But, you know, she's done some great things, and, you know, you want to reward. You want to get some hardware, and you want to get some trophies there to reward some of your hard work. So it's definitely a good one to get, and it's good to see, you know, up and down for all those girls.
So now, speaking of seniors, Kylie Loy posted a double-double in that championship game versus LaPel. What did you see out of Kylie throughout that game?
I mean, Kylie was just an absolute animal out there, and you think about her hobbling around out there, but she played so good a defense and rebounded so well. You know, just, you know, sheer heart. She went down there late, or no, I think it was early in the third quarter, where she, you know, got a bump there on her knee and was going through some pain, but was able to get back out there and compete at a high level. And, you know, she helps us be better. She makes us a better team. And, you know, we're happy to see where she's at and just what she was able to do, I think, really helped us to pull that one out.
So what would you say are a few of your biggest takeaways from last week's Madison County tournament?
Well, you know, to be able to win it and get back in the right direction there, get that first goal accomplished was huge. As we head in here, you know, to the last 3 weeks of this regular season, you want to be building on a solid note. So I think, you know, building on that positive note and getting a big week here of practice to get ready for, you know, a chance to play New Pal here on Friday, or there on Friday night in that boys girls doubleheader. You know, the chance to sweep the conference and go 7-0. So we got to keep things going in the right direction. We're going to have to keep getting better. But I think our girls are determined to be the best team that we can be.
Now, Coach, it was not just a win. It was a win here in front of the Arabian Stampede here on the home floor. How did it feel winning in front of these great and ecstatic Arabians fans?
Oh, man, it was super special. I mean, they were wild. They were crazy. They were excited. They were mobbing the floor after the games. It's what the Lady Arabians and, you know, just Pendleton Heights is all about, being able to support each other and help each other to feel some excitement, feel some enthusiasm. You know, they're as big a part of the game as we are on the floor. You know, Ralph Waldo Emerson said nothing great was ever achieved without enthusiasm, and we sure had it there to win that county tournament.
So that will do it for this segment. When we return, Coach Cook will stay with us to preview this weekend's game against conference rival New Pal and a road trip over to Rushville. You're listening to the ASN Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM.
Do you have an event you'd like to promote? Make sure to go to 917WEEM.org and click on the WEEM community calendar. There you'll find the calendar and a link to the form you will need to fill out to have your event show up on the calendar. Again, everything you need to get the word out on your event is at the WEEM community calendar. Details online at 917WEEM.org.
Are you looking to expand your client base? Needing to have more people know about your business? Consider becoming an underwriter for 917 WEEM. Your sponsorship helps the student broadcasters of Pendleton Heights gain valuable skills and experience. WEEM has a rich tradition of community involvement that wouldn't happen without the support of our underwriters. More information is available from Christian Ruggles at 765-778-2161, extension 6095, or at cruggles@smcsc.com.
Back to the ASN Coaches Show on 917 WEEM.
Welcome you back to the ASN Coaches Show here on 917 WEEM. Coach Cook stays with us here for this next segment. Coach, your Lady Ravens have an opportunity to win their second championship here later this week as they take on the New Pal Lady Dragons. What is your focus this week as your team heads in the New Pal on Friday?
We want to get back to where we've been and playing good basketball on that offensive end. And, you know, I think our defense has been pretty solid, but we can correct some things there. But we got to get better on that offensive end, and I think we'll do that. You got to really be keyed in on what they're doing there at New Pal. They're going to be, you know, excited, a chance to break up the clean slate that we have and a chance to win the conference. I mean, they can't win it, but they'd be more than happy to ruin it for us where we can't win it outright. So, you know, getting there and in front of the boys, you know, crowd, you know, the crowd will be getting bigger probably as the game goes on. And you know, for our girls to get out there and compete, we got to really pay attention to their point guard who set the school record this year in points per game, or points in a game, actually. And Gizzy, which she broke the record that her own mother had, and she's the coach. So she's going to be tough to stop, left-handed. And I think last year she was shooting like 16% from three when she came and played us here, and hit four threes against us and banked in two of them. And, you know, we're expecting that kind of same thing because people kind of get ramped up to play us, and we got to be ready to answer.
So with a perfect, solid, undefeated 7-0 record in the conference, how important is this final conference game of the season?
Oh, this is huge. This is one of those goals that we set, you know, at the start of the year, and we got to finish this. We talked about it today that, you know, we don't like sharing, and we don't want to, you know, go 6-1 here and then hope that, you know, Newcastle loses one or Mount Vernon loses one because they're both sitting on one loss right now. We're not thinking about that. You know, we're going to, you know, push through and make sure that we take care of what we can and try to finish 7-0 there, you know, on the road, being a little shorthanded. So we kind of been playing that way throughout the year. So we'll see what we can do on Friday night.
So as you mentioned in that first question, Friday night will actually be a doubleheader with the boys varsity team, as your team, the girls, will play at 6 o'clock and the boys will play at 7:30. But what do you enjoy about these doubleheaders with Coach Ballard's team?
Well, we've really looked forward to doing them. You know, it's just a good chance for the product and want to come to watch some more. So definitely is a big chance and a big opportunity. You know, I think we've had this game's kind of scheduled that way for several years, but we haven't been able to get this doubleheader to happen, be it snow or, you know, got quarantined or something. So this will hopefully be the first time that we can get it done, and I'm looking forward to it.
So now a bit of a turnaround after Friday's game, as you have to get up bright and early to travel down to Rushville to play at 1:30 on Saturday. But how have you prepared to play back-to-back games for this weekend?
Well, the way our schedule is kind of set up here at the end of the year, it really gets you ready for that tournament play where you're going to have to go a Friday, Saturday night, or three games in a week. So our last couple weeks are like that. And, you know, that's what we want to build us into where we want to be come February. So, you know, for us to be able to turn around and come in and shoot Saturday morning and then, you know, be able to, well, shoot right before we leave, to be able to get around and play them at Rushville after a long drive, it's going to be critical for us to have our minds right because, you know, after winning an emotional game there at New Pal, it's not going to be easy to hit that mental switch and get ready for Rushville, who's a solid team, and they're ready and eager to try to beat us. So I love playing there in Rushville. I love that gymnasium. You know, the girls usually get a good following there. The Rushville crowd does a good job of getting the band there and have a good women's basketball program. So it'll be something for us to get up and make sure that we're playing our best basketball because we want to be hitting stride coming down the last, you know, few weeks here.
So along with that county title, what would you say are a few of your other season goals with a month left in the regular season and then sectionals in February?
Well, we got that, you know, conference title that we're going to be playing for, to have sole ownership of it there on Friday night. And then we get a week there where we get a rematch with LaPel and Connersville here at home. We have our senior night there against LaPel on Tuesday night, and we'll have a youth night that night. But you get Connersville on Thursday, and then that sectional draw on Sunday. Look to see where we land in the tournament. So we're just a couple weeks away from that, a couple weeks from yesterday, where we get our tournament draw and our pairings and see what road we're going to have to take to get as far as we're going to get. So, you know, it's exciting time of the year. We finished that last week after knowing, you know, where you're going to land in the sectional. You know who you're going to play, and you're kind of focused on, you know, getting ready for those games. Meanwhile, you got to play a solid Eastern Hancock on Monday and then a Wednesday game against the top-ranked Noblesville team, who was number one earlier in the year. And then that's at home, and then Pike on Thursday. So it really, you know, gets you ready for that sectional week with three games. We're looking forward to that, and, you know, it's coming to an end. I mean, we just passed the halfway point there last week, and now we're heading full steam, you know, down the last few weeks of the season.
So tracing back to last week a little bit, what would you say were your team's biggest strengths from last week, and what will need improvement heading into this weekend?
I think our defense has been something that we've done really well. We got a few things that we can correct there. I think something that we can really hang our hat on and count on a nightly basis. But we have to get better on offense. We have to be able to handle some gimmicks. We faced it, some gimmick type defenses. So we're going to, keep working and keep trying to get better. And we got to really be focused on these goals that we have. None of this is going to come easy. I mean, when you're the favorite going into your sectional, which most likely we were going to be, everybody's gunning for you. So we got to be ready to go, and we got to be ready to compete at a high level. So we got a lot of things we need to get better at, and we're going to do that this week.
So last season, New Pal was one of the Lady Arabians' two conference losses of the season. But what will be, some other keys in slaying the Dragons on Friday night?
Like I said, they played – over their head a little bit and shot over their head a little bit. So we're expecting the same thing out of them on Friday night. So we got to be ready to go and make it less about them and more about us and really get out there and put that defense on them and get out and deny the passing lanes and get on the help side so that we don't get burned anything going to the basket. But I think if we can stay aggressive and really shut down Gizzy, their point guard, I think we should be all right.
What would you say the competition and practice will look like this week following County Week?
So good today that we got girls mad at each other and, they're having some problems. So, that's good stuff. That's good stuff because that's one thing that makes this team as good as they are. They're just a little bit tough on each other, and that was, you're happy to play somebody else and be tough on them a little bit. So they were super competitive today, and it's kind of how we want to practice to be to get us going to where we want to be.
So that will wrap it up for Coach Cook. Hey, thank you, Coach Cook, for joining me once again.
All right, thanks, Jacob. Thanks for covering us.
So when we come back, Coach Ballard will join us to talk about the Arabian side of the Madison County Tournament and a preview of this weekend's conference matchups against New Pal and Shelbyville. You're listening to the Arabian Sports Network, 91.7 WEEM.
Hey, Dr. Jenner, what do you remember most about playing high school sports?
Oh, I loved it. I made friends and have memories I'll treasure forever. But what mattered most were the life lessons I learned in the soccer field.
Life lessons? Which are your favorite?
Just being part of a team. You learn so many valuable skills. Collaboration, communication, work ethic. These are just some of the lessons that have helped shape the person I am to this day. I'm Dr. Katie Jenner, Indiana Secretary of Education.
And I'm Paul Knight, Commissioner of the Indiana High School Athletic Association. Join us in celebrating the 50th anniversary of Title IX and the opportunities it's provided female student athletes across this country, including here in Indiana.
Thanks to Title IX, generations of female student athletes have learned life lessons that will impact them for the rest of their lives.
And that is a legacy worth celebrating.
This is 50 years of Title IX. This is celebrating generations of female student athletes. This is your IHSAA.
Back to the ASN Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
We welcome you back to the ASN Coaches Show here on 91.7 WEEM. Coach Ballard joins me here for the next couple of segments. Coach Ballard, thank you for joining me.
Hey, I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
So the Arabians were matched up to take on the Anderson Indians in the first round of the Madison County Tournament last Monday. Now this was, of course, the second time the Arabians took on Anderson, as these two played each other for the season opener back on November 23rd, as the Indians went on to win 68-50. And on Monday, the Indians went on to take the second win over Pendleton Heights, 78-49, who advanced to the second round and play Liberty Christian. Now eventually, the Indians defeated Liberty Christian and then beat LaPel in the final 69-34 to take the crown of the Madison County Tournament. So, Coach Ballard, what are a few of your biggest takeaways from playing the Indians twice this season?
I mean, they're really good. They're really, really good. And we just, we've got to continue working every day to get better. I think there's some things that Anderson does well that are big weaknesses of ours, particularly with size and with athleticism. And that's why we got to continue to work hard in the weight room. We got to continue to work hard with our athletic development. Our skills have to continue to get better. And Anderson's, they're a very good team. That's about all I can say about them.
So Jamison Dunham was quite active on offense in that game for the Arabians, scoring 28 of the 49 total points on 75% shooting from the field, along with 4 three-pointers. Now, in that following game against Frankton, he dropped 10 points with 8 shot attempts to eclipse 1,000 career points here at Pendleton Heights. But how big of an impact has Jamison made on this team the past few games, as well as up north for that Warsaw Classic?
Well, you know, Jamison's such a great basketball player, and you know, to score 1,000 points in your career really halfway through your senior year, I mean, if you think about it, he's played 2.5 seasons of varsity basketball, and to get 1,000 that quickly is special. And I think he's still got a lot of work to do in our, you know, our last 13 games or so that we have here. And, you know, Jamison has really done a good job of trying to buy into all the things that we're doing. He's tried to really improve his leadership ability. Just today in practice was probably one of the best days that Jamison's had as a leader since I met him, and he's growing every day in that area. And what Jamison does is in practice he forces everybody to be a little bit better, pay a little bit more attention to detail, and we just got to continue to build on that.
So in that same game against Anderson, the Pendleton High shot 44% from that free throw line. How important will it be to convert from shots at the charity stripe continuing on into the regular season?
Well, it's extremely important. I mean, not to be too you know, jovial, but I tell our guys, you know, that basket is, you can fit two balls through there at one time, and on a free throw, nobody's guarding you, so why would you ever miss? And that's, you know, it's kind of funny to think about it like that, but really, for us, it's not a question of ability to make free throws. We've just got to slow ourselves down a little bit mentally, get focused in on what we're doing. You know, sometimes we got guys that are running back on defense before the ball's even left their hands, or guys that are going to the free throw line thinking, oh man, I hope I don't miss this. And so we've got to adjust our mindset, adjust our thought process a little bit, and take care of what's in front of us, and then go make the next play.
So out of the majority of the players on this roster, Luke Caniano is kind of known as the guy that is always reeling in the charges for Pendleton Heights. Now, the Ravens drew 5 charges in that game with the assistance of not only Caniano, but Jameson Dunham, Nolan Souders, Caden Sims, and Brent Knitz, each drawing one apiece. But how crucial is it to get charges to cut the chances and opportunities of fast break points?
Well, you know, a charge is the ultimate charge is the ultimate we before me play, and that's one of the core values of our program is about being about the we instead of the me. And when you're willing to step in front and take a charge, it says a lot about you know, how you feel about your team and your teammates. You know, Jamison's taken 2 charges this season, which is 2 more than he'd taken his entire life before this year. You know, Luke's one of those guys that's always a team guy. But now that we've got all of our guys, you know, in practice on Saturday, our kids are asking, can we work on charges today? You know, there's just an element of toughness. There's an element of we to being willing to do that that will eventually bleed into all the other things that we're trying to accomplish.
So a couple of days later, the Arabians were paired up with the Franklin Eagles, and they played for the 5th place spot at the Anderson Preparatory Academy. Pendleton Heights went on to get their 2nd victory of the season over the Eagles, 68-55, having by far one of their best games on offense, season high of 68 total points, 58% shooting, and 83% from behind the arc. What was it like seeing this team play with such high efficiency and energy on offense to take home that win?
Oh, I mean, it was a lot of fun. I thought that, you know, it really all started with Josiah and his willingness to be assertive and to try to make some plays, and then that kind of opens things up for other guys. You know, Jamison only, you know, I say only in quotes, Jamison only had 10, but we got 68, and a lot of that is because other guys were willing to make plays, and if we can continue to build on that, everybody knows who Jamison Dunham is. Everybody's going to try and take Jamison Dunham away. Why would you not? We haven't shown consistently that we have other guys that are going to be willing to step up and not only make those plays, but just be willing to make those plays. And so I thought last Wednesday was a huge step in that direction. You know, Ethan Ross gets 9. Braden gets 9. I think Candy had 15. Joe had 17 and 8. And like, that's what it's going to take. And then when they got to start worrying about some of these other guys, then Jamison's going to kill you. And I really feel like we're on the edge of really figuring some things out as a team and as a program. We got hit really hard with COVID last week. We literally had half of our team out. We got several of them back today. I hope to get the rest back tomorrow. And so my hope is that we'll be able to refocus and make the next play and pick right up where we left off Wednesday.
So with the Arabians' win over Frankton, they were expected to play the Elwood Panthers for the fifth-place game on Friday, but the game was canceled due to COVID complications. But with that being said, what will be the main focus in practice this week following the Madison County tournament?
Well, getting everybody back together and trying to get right back where we were is first and foremost. You know, we had some guys really sucking wind today. We had a great practice, but we only had 11 guys because we got guys missing. You know, our freshmen have a game tonight, so we didn't have freshmen in today. And so to try to kind of turn it back up from an intensity, from a conditioning standpoint, and go into this weekend against two good teams that are two teams that we really feel that we can compete with and have success if we do the things that we need to do to be successful.
One thing I forgot to mention, in the past few games for Pendleton Heights, they've excelled on forcing turnovers. They have a total of 26 steals and 8 blocks through the past 5 games. What would you say are a few takeaways you have with the defense so far in these past few games?
Well, our guys are getting more confident. They're for a long time, you know, at the end of last season and then even early this season, there were a lot of times that we get to the right places, but we can't make the right plays. And now the game's starting to slow down a little bit for our younger guys. They're able to make some of those plays, whether it's offensively or defensively, like you're asking about. And, you know, Caden has had a weight kind of come off his shoulders. He's getting more aggressive defensively. Nolan has been very aggressive defensively. And, our seniors, I think, have done a good job as well. And when you got a guy like Josiah that's such a natural rim protector that you can kind of funnel things to, that makes some things a little bit easier as well.
So that will wrap it up for this segment. When we return, Coach Ballard will stay with me to preview a couple of conference matchups this weekend against the New Pal Dragons and the Shelbyville Golden Bears. You're listening to the Arabian Sports Network, 91.7 WEEM.
If you're a nonprofit and need to get information out to the public, please fill out the WEEM PSA form at 917WEEM.org. Again, to provide WEEM with PSA information, fill out the PSA form at 917WEEM.org.
These are the sounds of a dinner. A dinner that almost didn't happen. A dinner now served thanks to people like you. Due to COVID-19, 17 million more Americans may face hunger. Feeding America is helping our neighbors in need. And if you're able, you can too. Donations are being accepted at feedingamerica.org/coronavirus. Brought to you by the Ad Council and Feeding America. 200 food banks strong.
Back to the ASN Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
Back to the ASN Coaches Show here on 91.7 WEEM. Coach Ballard stays with me to discuss two key conference games this weekend. First off, on Friday, the Arabians are set to take a road trip over to New Pal to take on the Dragons at 7:30. New Pal stands at 7-4 this season while being third in the Hoosier Heritage Conference. Now, New Pal finished third in their own tournament, the Lebanon Tournament, last month after defeating North High School of Evansville to wrap up the tournament, following up with a 56-32 victory over the Delta Eagles a week later, and are now coming off an overtime loss to Southport on Saturday night, 62-57. So what are some keys to point out about a team like the Dragons?
Well, you know, any time that you go up against a New Pal team, you know they're going to be tough. You know they're going to be physical. But, you know, New Pal this year is really kind of a three-headed monster with Brassfield and Stevens and Nunnally running the show. And So we definitely have to limit what those guys can do. They're a great rebounding team. We've got to make sure that we limit them to one shot offensively. But I think they're a team that I think we've grown a lot since we saw them last. We played them in the summer over at the Charlie Hughes. I want to say they got us by 4 or 6. I can't remember off the top of my head. But, you know, they're going to be well coached. They're going to run a lot of good actions to get guys like Brassfield and Steven shots. And they run their stuff well. They execute very well. And so we've got to do a great job of preparing. We've got to make sure that we're focused. We don't get caught up in moments and things like that. And we stay focused on the things that we can control and making the plays that we need to make in terms of being disciplined and being tough. And so really excited about the opportunity. I'm excited to go down there and see how far we've come.
So, yes, as you just said, the top player to watch for when playing the Dragons is Indiana Tech commit and 6'5 senior Steele Brassfield. Now, Brassfield leads the Dragons with 19 points per game, also leads in points with 210 total points scored this season while shooting 42% from the field. Well, what will the goal be in locking up Brassfield and causing a little bit of a stir for New Pal?
Well, we got to make everything tough for him. You know, we got to make it tough for him to catch. We got to make it tough for him to see. excuse me. And if we can do those things, make every shot that he takes a contested shot, not just a shot with a hand up, but really contest it to where he's feeling that pressure, I think that we have a chance to be successful. You know, he's the kind of player that he's going to make some shots. You're not going to shut him out. You're not going to totally take him out of the game. But if you can limit his touches and limit his easy opportunities, I think we can have some success against him.
So New Pal has scored a total of 55-plus total points in their past six games, along with a season high of 93 versus Metropolitan High School of Indianapolis on December 28th. Now the team has shot 42% from the floor this season, but their success from downtown and at the free throw line has been a little bit of a different story, as they've shot 29% from behind the arc and 64% from the stripe this season. So with the Dragons having a little bit of some shooting struggles, how big will that help the Arabians on Friday night?
Well, it goes back to what I said earlier. I mean, that's why there's a reason that they're 7-4 and they're shooting 42% from the field. There's a reason they're 7-4 and shooting 29 from three and 64 from the line. It's because they do such a great job of getting extra possessions and extra opportunities on the glass. You know, Stevens is as good an offensive rebounder as we've seen. You know, Brassfield at 6'5 can cause you some issues. They got a couple other guys that do a really good job on the glass. And so, you know, if you shoot it three times and only make it, you're 33%. But that 2 points is the same as if you had scored it the first time you shot it. So we've got to make sure that we do a great job in limiting them to one shot, limit their opportunities, and then when we get it, we got to be on the attack.
So Saturday night, the Arabians will continue their road trip down to Shelbyville to take on the Golden Bears. Now Shelbyville stands at 2-8 so far this season, while being last in the standings with their three conference losses. So how do you like your chances against a team like Shelbyville?
Well, I thought that was a game. We went down there last year, and it's one of my favorite gyms to play in. Really love Shelbyville's gym, and it'll be a really good kind of measuring stick, similar to New Pal, but in a different way, because that was a game a year ago that we really felt like we should have won, and we just didn't make the plays down the stretch to get that done. And so, you know, how far have we come as a team, as a program, as individuals? And like I said earlier, I really feel like our team is right on the edge, and whether we go 2-0, 1-1, or 0-2 this week really won't say where we're at. But if we are in these games and competing to win, having a chance to win, and doing all the things that we're working on every day in practice, making the right plays, making the tough plays, being disciplined defensively and on the glass, and because both of those teams are going to do those things, and so it'll be a good opportunity to really see where we're at.
So Junior Oliver, or Ollie Sandman, is having a great year so far despite Shelbyville's struggles. He has been their spotlight so far this season with 21 points per game, has been a spot-on shooter, 43% from the field, 41% from the trifecta, and 89% from that free throw line. Nobody else on the Golden Bears really competes as highly on offense as Sandman. But how important will it be to shout out Ollie Sandman in this game on Saturday night?
Well, you know, you could say he's kind of like their Jameson, right? I mean, you got to stop him. And the old adage is you try to cut the head off the snake and see what you can do. So he's a guy that can really score it. He can score it at different levels. He's good with the ball in his hands. And so we've got to make sure that we do a great job on him, contest every shot similar to Brassfield, make his catches tough, make it tough for him to get easy looks and easy buckets, and really have great help. And not just great help, but great early help on them, and try to put some other guys in positions that they have to make plays.
So Shelbyville has been a team that has struggled a little bit with rebounding and getting into foul trouble. What will be the key in taking advantage of Shelbyville on both of those aspects?
Well, not getting caught up in those kinds of things. Like we got to worry about us and control what we can control. You know, there's so many times that you look at some film and you're like, this guy's really foul prone. And if you go into a game and you're like, we're going to get him in foul trouble. Well, if you're focused on getting that guy in foul trouble, what's your focus on trying to have good possessions and make baskets, you know? And so I don't mean to dismiss what you're saying, but I really feel that we have to focus on the things that we can control, and what our effort and what our discipline and what our toughness and intensity looks like. And if we do those things, I think we're going to be in a position to have success.
So as of today, the Arabians are sixth in the Hoosier Heritage Conference standings. Have plenty of opportunities this week and other weeks coming to advance their position in the standings, especially if they win both games this weekend, along with losses for Newcastle and Yorktown. How important would it be to have the mindset to lock in and win these crucial conference games for the next couple of months?
Well, you know, we've only played one conference game, and so it's an opportunity to really make some headway in our conference. I feel like we have a great conference, but I feel like it's a conference that we can compete in. You know, we play four conference games here in the next 3 weeks. You know, obviously we've got New Pal and Shelbyville this week, and then Delta and Greenfield. And so all of those are games that our guys feel like they can go get. And so we've got to really focus on the process, on the journey of trying to be 1% better every day, being prepared, and being assertive. And if we do those things, I think we're going to put ourselves in a position that we can be right there in that conversation with our conference. And, you know, Mount Vernon's really good. They've still got a couple games to go here. But, you know, we've got six. So, you know, we've played one game against Mount Vernon, and we still have our entire conference schedule in front of us. So that's something that our guys and our coaches are really looking forward to.
So that will do it for Coach Ballard. Thank you, Coach Ballard, for joining me once again.
Hey, thanks for having me, Jacob. I'm happy to be here.
So when we come back, I'll talk to you folks about January's calendar of events. You're listening to the Arabian Sports Network, 91.7 WEM.
Hey, Carrie, you know how we like to say that high school sports are the purest form of amateur sports?
Pure spirit, pure sport. That's Indiana High School Athletics.
Well, I learned something the other day that further proves that.
I'm interested. Tell me more, Chris.
Well, we all know what amateur means, but do you know the root of its meaning? It means for the love of.
Wow, you're right. That really does reinforce the idea that high school sports are the purest form of sport.
Fans, I'm IHSA Assistant Commissioner Chris Kaufman.
And I'm Assistant Commissioner Carrie Rosati.
If you want to watch sports in their purest form, get a ticket and go support your high school sports teams.
Everyone there, from the players and coaches to the fans and officials, they're there simply for the love of the game.
Pure spirit.
Pure sport.
This is pure spirit. This is pure sport. This is your IHSAA.
Back to the ASN Coaches Show on 91.7 WEM.
We welcome you back here to the ASN Coaches Show here on 91.7 WEM. I'm going to open up this segment by discussing December's recap for the school's winter sports. And also coming up next, I'll go through January's calendar of events. So to start off, the boys and girls wrestling teams both open up the month of December with the Newcastle Invitational and the Macon Aqua Invite on December the 4th. And a few days later, the Arabians took on the Greenfield Central Cougars but fell 45-22. But Piddle Knights did have a few winners in their respective classes. Elijah Creel took home a win for the 120-pound class, Blake Nicholson for the 126-pound class, Jackson Todd for the 132-pound class, Sam Mosseny for the 220-pound class, and Derek Louder for the 285-pound class. Now, though the Arabians had some winners, it was no match for the Cougars. Now, so far this season, the Cougars have been on quite the tear this season. Though they are 17-8 overall in meets, they are an undefeated 5-0 in meets against conference opponents. The Hoosier Heritage Conference is really one of the most competitive conferences when it comes to wrestling, especially this year, just all across the state. Now, a few days later, it was the Super Six here from Pendleton Heights High School, and it was a huge turnaround for these Arabian wrestlers here on December 11th as they went a perfect 4-0 to defeat Frankton with a score of 54-15, Purdue Polytechnic, Elwood 66-15, as well as Winchester High School. Now, the same wrestlers I mentioned that won in their meets against Greenfield Central went on to win once again, and it was really just a perfect way to prepare for the Madison County Tournament. And the Super Six really gave these Arabian wrestlers lots of motivation and preparation before returning back home in time for the Madison County Tournament. With a 4-0 sweep to all your opponents, that has to bring a lot of energy coming up on by far the biggest meets of the year. And with that being said, on December 18th, the Arabians hosted the Madison County Tournament. They went on to win their 8th straight championship and number 30 overall, with the Ravens placing first with a score of 231. Alexander Monroe finished runner-up with a score of 215.5, and the Henderson Indians wrapped up the top three with a score of 204. Winners and runner-ups all around for that Ravens squad, as Elijah Wolf, Elijah Creel, Blake Nicholson, and Jalen Covington earned first place in their respective classes, with Ethan Childers, Sam Mosseny, and Derek Lauder earning second place. This Ravens team just continues to find the hot spot in the Madison County Tournament. Now, with 8 in a row, that is just insane. That is record-breaking. The Ravens continue to be the top team in Madison County whenever it comes to wrestling. And when it comes to 30 county titles overall, that's just pure outstanding. So with the group of wrestlers the Ravens have produced over the past decade, mixed in with Hall of Fame coach Mr. Dave Cloud, those two coming together just to mix into a great team. So now over to the swimming side of things, a key event for the boys and girls swimming teams was back on December 11th. It was the Shelbyville Relays. The girls placed second in this meet with 112 points, falling short of Columbus East as they took home the win, and conference rivals Yorktown wrapping up the top three with 100 points. For the boys, it was a different story as they placed sixth with Batesville High School with 70 points. And I remember the girls swimming and diving team went undefeated last year, and they still continue to make a tear through the schedule, winning so far all of their exhibitions and conference meets besides one, and it was a loss to Greenfield Central 97-89 earlier in the season. I believe it was their second meet. But on December 16th, 17th, and the 18th, it was the Hoosier Heritage Conference swimming and diving meets over at New Pell High School. The girls divers placed first with 32 points in the Hoosier Heritage Conference dive meet, with Maddie Hyman being crowned the conference champion. The following day, the girls swimmers went on to place second in the Hoosier Heritage Conference swim meet with 395 points, as Greenfield Central snagged first place with a whopping 503 points. Grace McKinney got first place in the 200 freestyle, as well as runner-up in the 500 freestyle, and the team of Jayma Link, Mallory Gentry, Sophie Caster, and Grace McKinney took home a win in the 200 freestyle relay. And for the boys swimmers, they placed sixth in the Hoosier Heritage Conference swimming and diving meet. Over on the girls basketball, the Lady Arabians went 4-2 in the month of December, with three of those wins coming against Hoosier Heritage Conference opponents, and both losses were to non-conference teams. That first game was a very, very energetic victory against Mount Vernon on December 4th. Spittleton Heights defeated the Lady Marauders 47-36 to get their first win over Mount Vernon since 2017. Now, the Lady Ravens unfortunately fell to Hamilton Southeastern a few days later, final score at 76-45, but they clapped back with back-to-back wins against Delta and Fishers to kind of fuel the fire rolling into winter break. Fort Lawrence Central got them red-handed, along with the majority of the starters and varsity players in general getting hit with quarantine, but with a mixed round starting lineup and players getting called up for some varsity minutes, Pendleton Heights was able to take Lawrence Central into overtime, but sadly fell in a close and high-scoring game, 73-71, and the Lady Ravens wrapped up the month of December with a solid 10-point victory over Yorktown on December 22nd. And with that being said, this Lady Ravens squad went on to get paired with Anderson for the first round of the Madison County Tournament, but unfortunately the Lady Tribe had to forfeit in this game. Then this gave the Lady Ravens the opportunity to advance to the semifinal, and that's where they beat Frankton 42-40 in a close game, a very tight, energetic game, and eventually defeated LaPel in the championship 54-43. We're on to the boys' basketball. The Ravens went 1-5 in the month of December, with their solo victory coming on December 14th. They defeated Guerin Catholic in overtime 65-60 to earn their first win of the 2021-22 season. Pendleton Heights started off the month of December with three straight losses to LaPel, Mount Vernon, and Connersville before securing that first dub of the season at home. A couple of weeks later, after that win, the Ravens traveled up north to Warsaw, Indiana to compete in the Warsaw Classic. They competed in a doubleheader on December 28th as they took on Warsaw at 11 o'clock in the morning, followed up with a game against Dwinger High School of Fort Wayne at 6 o'clock. The Ravens fell in that first game to Warsaw 69-64 and lost in the second game to Dwinger High School 48-41. Pendleton Heights had a chance to redeem themselves as they took on the Washington High School of South Bend the next day, but sadly fell to them to go winless in the Warsaw Classic 48-47. The Ravens went on to fall to Anderson in that first round of the Madison County Tournament. We're able to get that second win of the season against Franklin 68-55 and having their fifth place game. Of course, as we mentioned with Coach Ballard, he canceled. It's going to be the game against the Elwood Panthers. But now over to the January calendar of events, looking at girls basketball. One of the key games I circled was actually this Friday, January 14th, as they travel over to New Pal to take on the reigning sectional runner-up, the 9-7 Lady Dragons. One of the things to point out about the Lady Dragons is, for sure, their coach, Coach Sarah Gizzi, Coach Cook, mentioned her a little bit, 81-35 in 5 years at New Pal. She is 4-1 against Pendleton Heights. Of course, Pendleton Heights is on that four-game losing streak versus New Pal. Two things to point out about both of these squads is that Pendleton Heights, undefeated 7-0 in Hoosier Heritage Conference matchups. New Pal is just standing at 3-3. Another matchup I circled was January 18th, where they take on the LaPel Lady Bulldogs, 11-6. Also, Madison County Championship runner-ups, as we just mentioned. The Ravens defeated LaPel in the Madison County Championship, 54-43. Now, these two teams have been going back and forth a little bit. In 2018, Pendleton Heights won 54-47. That following year, LaPel took them to overtime and won 63-59. But then in 2020, LaPel won in the the semifinal of the Madison County Championship or tournament, 53-52. January 24th, they travel over to Eastern Hancock High School to take on the 13-2 Lady Royals. Now, the Lady Royals were on a 9-game winning streak in the stretch of November 16th to December 21st. And a couple of teams they actually played coming up on the Lady Ravens schedule was Rushville and LaPel. They defeated Rushville 47-31. They also defeated LaPel 52-46. They're preparing to play Newcastle here as their next game on January 11th. Of course, Hoosier Heritage Conference opponent. Plus, they are also second in the Mid-Eastern Conference. Now, one more game I circle for the Lady Ravens is January 26th as they'll take on the sectional champion Noblesville Lady Millers, standing at the record of 14-3. Now, Noblesville has only played one game against the Madison County team. That was back on December 14th versus Anderson. They defeated the Lady Tribe 84-25. Plus, they're on an 8-game winning streak versus Pendleton Heights. However, for the boys basketball, four games are circled here. They're all four conference matchups. Of course, that one game Friday at New Pal. Of course, the Dragons 7-4, third in the Hoosier Heritage Conference, along with a 2-1 record with wins versus Greenfield Central and Delta. And that one loss solely coming from Newcastle. They also had three straight wins versus Pendleton Heights. Following day, they travel over to Shelbyville to take on the 2-8 Golden Bears. Of course, it's a conference opponent, especially with, you know, the time the Ravens have in the season. They have January, February. It's important to reel in these conference wins, and especially just win in general. But last year, they defeated Pendleton Heights 68-60. Same thing with Delta, conference opponent. Really important to win those kinds of matchups. And they also defeated Pendleton Heights last year 61-42. Same thing with Greenfield Central in the 28th. They stand at a record of 4-6. And I forgot to mention with Delta, they stand at a record of 4-7. Greenfield Central and Pendleton Heights going back and forth a little bit. Back in 2020, Pendleton Heights won by just 1 point. A very, very close game, 42-41. Then the following year, 2021, Greenfield Central got the revenge and defeated the Ravens 66-63. Now over to the wrestling. January 14th is the girls' wrestling state finals. Casey Cruz placed third, and Miranda Robinette placed sixth in the Indiana High School girls' wrestling South Regionals back on January 7th. With that being said, Cruz and Robinette both qualify and will wrestle in the state finals. Now, following me today, January 15th is a Hoosier Heritage Conference meet. Now, Delta so far in wrestling so far this season, they are 14-4 overall, 1-1 in conference, with their only loss coming from Greenfield Central. As I mentioned, they are just on a tear to the season, and they have their only win in the conference coming up against Mount Vernon, winning by just a couple of points, 38-36. Greenfield Central, literally, as we just mentioned, 17-8 overall, 5-0 in the conference with wins coming against Delta. They defeated New Pal twice, and they even defeated the Ravens earlier in the season, as I mentioned, 45-22. The third team I circled here was Mount Vernon. They are 18-6 overall. They are also a pretty dominant team in the conference, standing at 4-1 with wins against New Pal, Pendleton Heights 46-27, as well as Newcastle. And, of course, the last meet I circled up was January 29th, because that is when the sectionals start. But now over for the girls swimming, January 11th versus Shelbyville, January 13th at Delta, January 18th versus Newcastle, and January 20th at Mount Vernon are the four key meets to circle right here for the girls swimming and diving team. They are 2-1 in conference meets this season as they defeated Yorktown 129-56, and they defeated New Pal 129-52. And also one more meet to circle is January 25th as they travel over to Liberty Christian for their swim meet. And in non-conference matchups so far for the girls' swimming team this season, they defeated Muncie Central 142-44. They defeated Anderson 135-51, and then in Oak Hill last week, they defeated them 108-70. Now, with that being said, that will do it for this evening's ASN Coaches Show. Our next broadcast will be on Friday night, as Ian Stevens and I will be calling both the girls and boys basketball doubleheaders at New Powell High School. Later, Ravens tip-off at 6 o'clock, and the Ravens tip-off and the boys tip-off at 7:15, with pregame festivities beginning at 5:45. All of that here on 91.7 WEM. Now, for the folks who tuned in, we wish you all a safe and warm good night, and have a great rest of your week. I'm Jacob Festmeyer, and this was the ASN Coaches Show, 91.7 WEM.